We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Let's get the facts straight. Let's get the order straight. And it's not whether he apologized or not. It's the policy.
Well, I think Bloomberg's best moments were probably when he was quiet.
The billionaire who thinks that money ought to be the root of all power.
A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg.
And the mayor comes along and his attorney say, I will give you this amount of money if you promise you'll never say anything. That's how it works.
Mayor Bloomberg, should you exist?
The doctor is in. Randy Tobler joining us right now. The Randy Tobler Show every Saturday morning here, 6 to 8. Randy, how are you?
Doing well. Still trying to scratch my head and figure out what in the world went on in Vegas last night.
It was like
a slow motion NASCAR crash. I'm glad that Ryan Newman is doing so well. That was the contrast of the American institution and traditional, just celebrating great things that happen in America over the weekend with Daytona. You know, for all of its the crash, but the way everyone rallied and in just such a patriotic, beautiful way. And then you saw the carnage last night. I mean, it was just a contrast that I just couldn't get over.
I just have to ask, you know, I'm watching the billionaire Bloomberg. Everybody on the stage, I think, except maybe Buttigieg claims that he doesn't have much money. They're all millionaires. They've all been in Washington for a long time. They're arguing over who has a third home or who doesn't. Can we get to the bite with Bernie Sanders Bloomberg discussing that issue? Listen to this.
Let's get the facts straight. Let's get the order straight. And it's not whether he apologized.
The best-known socialist in the country happens to be a millionaire with three houses. What did I miss here?
Well, you'll miss that I work in Washington, House 1.
That's the first problem.
Live in Burlington, House 2.
That's good.
And like thousands of other Vermonters, I do have a summer camp. Forgive me for that. But where is your home?
He's got a, you know what they call it in Vermont, apparently, Randy, is a summer camp. You have a summer camp. You don't have a $500,000 summer vacation home. You have a summer camp. I'm trying to envision.
Funny. Here are all these people flying around in private jets with their one, you know, with their two, three, how many homes on Golden Pond. And telling everyone in America that don't worry about me, don't listen to me, don't look at what I do. I'll make sure you have a chicken in every pot, and I'll be putting a key in every one of my three locks. You know, it's just amazing. It's just the hypocrisy and the way that the Democratic electorate and their supporters just vote for this without even thinking it through. This is more surreal, more creative. If you were to look at this as some kind of a screenplay. Than Alice in Wonderland or your most surreal fantasy movie ever. It is just amazing.
So you watched the debate last night, right? Or at least portions of it?
Yeah, just portions of it. I had to go and take some Pepto-Bismol now and then to try to make it through.
You know, I had a couple of observations on it, Randy. I don't know about you, but the Drudge Report is picking picking a winner this morning. And you can go to the Drudge Report and look. They think Bernie Sanders won. This is the vote by the people. They've got like 120,000 votes on here. They think Sanders won. Klobuchar came in second. They're giving Bloomberg credit for third, and Warren came in fourth. I think that is completely out of whack. I think there's no doubt about it. Warren did a great job last night for her lane. I think Joe Biden finally seemed a little more focused. He didn't lose his train of thought halfway through every comment. And Bloomberg got his clock clean. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, it was as though he'd been, you know, given a few left jabs and an uppercut before the debate. He just seemed stunned. He seemed unprepared. I can't believe his handlers didn't do. I mean, they all do mock debates. I didn't read anywhere and I wasn't able to thoroughly investigate it for the few days before the debate, but I haven't seen anywhere it reported that, you know, who was his fake debate coach? You know, you hear these things a lot. Where were the mock debates being held? Did they lock him up for half a day and really grill him and prepare him for these things? I just think this guy is so arrogant and so full of hubris over his notion that money can buy power, can buy the presidency. For all I know, the dictator of the world, God knows what his aspirations are. I mean, he got extra terms in New York City, got the rules changed. Oh, excuse me. He's used to getting the rules changed to get his way, isn't he? But yet he was totally unprepared and stunned. And the picture on Drudge with the battered and bruised and Band-Aids all over, it's a dandy.
I don't know if it's
up there this morning, but it was on there last night.
It is. Black and Bloom, it says.
You know, I have to admit, I was one of the – I probably cast two or three votes for Sanders on that poll.
Somebody,
I want to see Sanders and Trump on the debate stage, and I just want to assure another 4 years for Donald Trump. I mean, I think Sanders, if he gets the nominations, it's a shoo-in for Trump.
I don't think it's going to matter. I at this point, I really don't. As a party, they're so fractured with a socialist, and that point was made several times, leading their polls by 15 points right now. On the other hand, the one thing they didn't mention last night was the economy. The president was in California touting his water regulation changes, at which point, Randy, farmers were fawning over the president of the United States. Listen to this comment by one of the farmers who was in California last night. Listen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I vividly recall the day that you were elected. That day gave my family and I such a tremendous feeling of hope and optimism about our future in agriculture. Farming here in the state of California isn't the easiest, and every day since you've been in office, you've done exactly what you promised.
One of the farmers, Randy, said that his dad was, who's no longer with him, he was nearing the end of his life at around election time in 2016. They were thinking of selling the family farm. And after Donald Trump won, he said, "You will not sell this farm under any circumstances. This man is going to help us." And that's what he's done.
And you know what really is a testimony to the loyalty that is just galvanized and baked in, and I don't know what he could do to ever undo it, between the agricultural community and Donald Trump, as well as people in the heartland and just throughout, you know, good, solid grassroots Americans, but mainly in the Midwest and anywhere but the left and right coast, is just they're taking a hit, Mark. They're taking a beating with some of these tariffs. But I talk to them day in, day out. Hey, how you doing? You hanging in there? What do you think? Are you still supporting it? And they're like, yeah, we know about playing the long game. We know in our own family farms, in our own lives, there are cycles, there's ups and downs. This one's an artificial cycle, but for the long term, it's going to take that miserable tariff cycle that we have to endure. We never know what other countries are going to do. He has finally sent a message to the rest of the world that we are not going to be held hostage to tariffs, and we, the American farm family, will take a hit for the short term so that we can have the long-term assurance of a level playing field. And you couple that, on the one hand, pro-Trump from the farm community and the unbelievable tone-deaf comment that Bloomberg said back in 16 that's been playing over and over. And by the way, I couldn't believe that they didn't go after him. The other debaters didn't go after him on that last night. I think Trump has just sealed 45 million rural Americans in his camp. That's
yeah, no, I would agree. And, you know, healthcare got brought up a little bit, but mostly in the context of who's going to ruin the system and who's not. You got Buttigieg arguing you can't do that. But Sanders and Warren continue to be all in, and he's winning by 15 points. That's frightening. Yeah. That is frightening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, but, you know, there is a small and vocal core of people that support Medicare for All, but most Americans understand that all Medicare for All means is rationing for all. And so many Americans are employed. They may have high deductible plans, but at least they have some choice. They don't have the government telling their doctor what they're going to be able to do and not do in behalf of the patient. And I think as that resonates and reverberates throughout the electorate, I just see it toning down in the debates and in the messaging and the stump speeches across the Democratic landscape. And it's wise on their part, because it's going to turn out to be a losing issue. When they tried to, you know, when they just went so far to the left, it just destroyed any kind of positive messaging they had in healthcare.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. But this train wreck continues. It's like a clown car. We get to watch it every couple of weeks. It's fun.
Yeah, we learn everything that, you know, everything that we've known about the Democrats through the years. I mean, they'll do anything. They'll throw away their principles. the ends justify the means. They have no principles, whether it's ramming Obamacare through, whether it's impeachment, whether it's changing the rules for Bloomberg. You know, they'll do whatever it takes. So they throw out their principles. We're hearing the same worn out themes. It's about class envy. It's about victim feminism. I mean, I thought that was a cheap shot with Amy Klobuchar. Come on, whether you're a woman or a man or a transgender or purple or Mars or from Uganda or Mexico, take a hit. If you're a candidate for the president of the United States, stop leaning on the fact that you got two X chromosomes. And then when someone criticizes you, you say, oh, what, are you calling me dumb?
Yeah.
No other male would say that up there. She was playing the feminist victim card. And strong conservative women I know, that is such a turnoff for them when women who are strong and who are resilient and who dominate the workforce and are leading so many C-suites across this nation, women get it. They're tired of hearing that victim thing. I hope Denise and Trisha are not rolling their eyes at me.
No, you good, Doc.
You did good there, Randy. Hey, listen, thanks, my friend. Have a great week.
Get more at 971talk.com.